you ever been to a volcano?
When it was erupting?
You're now listening to Super Hoopers.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game.
Super Hoopers!
It's pretty. It's so pretty.
We just won a fucking war!
That's what you said, man.
Well, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about
Super Hoopers.
Welcome to Super Hoopers' inconsequential discussion of the week's NBA news. I'm your host, Matt Hill. With me, John Hill. Everyone can find us at the Super Hoopers. I'm at Tweet of Matt Hill. John is at J Hill Not Mean.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And N-A-H?
Yeah.
N-A-H? Nah.
Come on. That's how you spell it.
That's the one you're going with, huh? You're not going to make that easier to digest?
Hey man, Team Not Mean.
J Hill NBA or something at some point.
I think it says J Hill underscore NBA. Remember, I was told
that's like your name. You can change your handle though on Twitter.
I can change that part. I can't change my
handle. No, you can. You can.
Really?
They changed it. Yeah, you can change your handle.
Your actual handle.
Yeah, your actual handle.
You're a sellout.
Okay, all right.
What are you? What's your handle? Lakers fan this week?
No, it's Tweet of Matt Hill.
At Tweet of Matt Hill. Soon-to-be Warriors fan.
The brand is strong. Like, if you go watch the old Spurs videos,
you can change the handle.
No, you can. I looked into it.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
I looked into it. Okay. Yeah. All right. I would never.
To listeners out there, you can. You can always change. You can always rewrite history.
Not J Hill, not me, man. Keep it real.
Big show. We got Chris Axman, head of the Almighty Network, coming on, talking all sorts of smart NBA stuff.
Ooh, he's pretty smart.
He got wild. We're recording this after we had him on. He has a wild MVP take.
He's good. He's got takes. Just a little warning. We kind of dived into a little normal Colangelo fight.
Oh yeah.
So we're gonna put that at the end.
So
we've been told no more Colangelo talk on this pod.
John and Axman got into it about Colangelo, and so since we've subjected you to that a billion times, I'm gonna put that at the end after the credits.
Very end. Don't listen to it.
If you're interested in hearing John fight about Colangelo
if you have any respect for Chris Axman, you do not want to hear him get destroyed on this Colangelo take. Out of respect for the network, the Almighty Ball Network, we have decided to put him at the end.
It's literally the same conversation.
It's the same thing. You could have just listened to the same
conversation.
We're just arguing about losing second round picks.
All right. So let's, without further ado, here he is. Chris Axman.
Yeah.
Head of the Almighty Baller Network, our network.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, we haven't been kicked off yet.
I know.
Can you comment on that, Chris?
Yes. What's going on, Chris?
What kind of ship are you running over there?
Why didn't you kick us off a long time ago? We've been kicked off other networks.
Shout out Coach Nick.
Yeah, kicked us right off.
You guys have gotten dangerously close because you're not really controversial enough. It really bothers me. I just feel like you could be really pushing the envelope a little bit more. And like if you guys don't ramp it up and really start insulting people just from every fan base except I guess like the Lakers and the Sixers,
routinely insult fan bases. I don't know if you listen to it, but in fact I believe there are shots at the Pelicans fan base later in this podcast.
also we say a lot, me in particular say a lot of controversial things that Matt edits out.
That's true.
Matt has a good job outside of this, so he has to protect himself. I'm just like, let it burn.
Yeah.
See, this is why I don't host a comedy podcast, because like that irony was like totally lost.
Wow. This is all hard stats.
You have a smart guy podcast. Speaking of smart guy podcasts, you run a smart guy podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Chris Axman.
Thank you.
The Chris Axman podcast. I recommend it. I subscribe to it.
Yes.
Currently you're fixing all the teams. That's your project, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of fixing to do. We're doing the Grizzlies. Tomorrow.
Godspeed.
You mean like the tomorrow and then the whole weekend? And how are you fixing this thing?
I mean, I guess, well, what we should start with, just broke the day, is the Kawhi news. Maybe you can fix the Spurs. Let's see if I could try to break down what happened today with Kawhi and the Spurs. So Woj came out with a report.
Are you going to break down like every alternate timeline?
I don't know. Yes. I don't know. It's so there's really not much to say about the Kawhi stuff because it's so shrouded in mystery. But so Woj comes out with a report that the Spurs had a players only meeting where they confronted Kawhi and were like, Kawhi, you know, you got to play. And then immediately after that, like 3 minutes after Woj posts that, you know, all the San Antonio guys, like the San Antonio players and the San Antonio beat reporters are like, no, that wasn't what it was about. It was more like the players like lending support to Kawhi. So for me, what's not why it's like kind of not interesting or why we can't really comment on it is basically Kawhi's not playing. Kawhi says he's not playing because, you know, he has this injury that he's been cleared to come back from. But, you know, he says basically he's still hurt from it. So we either take him at his word or, you know, we assume or we say he's lying and he doesn't want to play for the Spurs for some reason. And we don't really know the answer. I would err on the side of let's trust Kawhi and that, you know, he's not quite right yet.
I feel like we the media and we the spectators can overcomplicate things a little bit. I think that
Just to be clear. You're the media. John and I are the spectators. Okay, let's just be clear on who's who. John's actually in the media.
Kind of have media pass.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's really two qualified members of Matt.
Okay, so. All right.
Holy crap! You have a media pass? Can I get one of those?
I sometimes have a media pass.
We'll talk after the podcast.
John's at front row at a Lakers game recently.
Sometimes
at the media front row. So
I'm secretly very legit.
Here's what somebody who's legit has never said. I'm secretly legit. Yes. Nobody actually legit has ever said that. Yep. So I think you've undermined yourself, John.
Yes. I think most people who listen to this podcast think I'm a complete moron, but
I have heard that from several listeners.
The comments, the reviews.
I've gotten texts. Yo, love the pod, but what's up with John? Is he doing a bit?
Yeah, like, is he
serious
moron?
with his takes?
What's he doing? Yeah.
Sorry, we interrupted you, Chris, as we're wont to do. What's going on? What's going on with Kawhi?
Okay, so I think it's got to be simple, right? Like either the people around him who are most influential has to be his agent, in which case you stay with the Spurs because apparently they're going to offer him a supermax, and that's $70 million extra. And for a guy who's like, you know, no offense, but low personality a little bit perhaps is one way of putting it.
Low T.
You're not going to get like an endorsement deal in really any market. Any market except for really the LA Lakers. And I think that's the interesting thing off to the side. It's like if you're around Kawhi and you're influential and you're not his agent, probably his agent would err on the side of caution. But if you're his like buddy, his Maverick Carter, right? And you think that he could get an $100 million sponsorship thing, a sneaker deal from Jordan if he was in LA, being like the superstar in LA, then you push him towards that. And that's an interesting wrinkle, but it's only the Lakers. Like in Philly, I don't think you can make up that $70 million.
I don't think there's $70 million in Philadelphia.
Oh, so. Come on. Come on.
Isn't there, John?
Yeah, the Constitution alone
is worth.
Yeah, the Liberty Bell is at least $8,000.
Bell.
Come on.
$8,000.
Come on. You got to fix the crack.
Well, you could melt it down.
You can melt it down, start
actually,
over.
I'm surprised, you know, somebody hasn't stolen it and melted it down.
Well, they tried when
Have you not seen National Treasure?
Yeah. Is that what they do? They steal the Liberty Bell?
I don't know. They try to steal the Constitution, right?
Oh, they try to steal the Constitution?
Is that what it is? It's been a while.
Yeah. And then there's like an environmental breakdown.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Does that make sense? I think that's fair.
Let's be clear. You are saying your sources have told you that Kawhi wants to go to LA. Okay, got it.
Got it. So from what I understand, because like I said, I do sometimes have some legitimacy here.
You traffic in legitimacy.
I'm sort of kind of legit.
I'm secretly legit.
Right.
So my understanding with this, based on my sources, is that like Kawhi and his agent, who's his uncle, has just never really bought it. The way we think of the Spurs as this infallible organization that you never want to leave. You know, this is the place. They don't quite see it that way. They're fine. They're fine leaving. It's not like, you know, where someone like Tim Duncan or Manu will never leave, you know? These guys are more like, whatever.
Tim Duncan almost went to Orlando.
That's true. He almost left Orlando. I will say this about the Spurs organization, all right? I have spent probably 500 to 600 hours making cartoons for them.
Yes, you have.
For free.
Yep.
Spurs Special Forces, 5 episodes. Have they ever reached out to me? Have they ever said thank you? So I kind of see what you're saying, John. Yeah. I think they're kind of an ungrateful organization.
But here's another little...
A sinking ship, if
here's
you will.
Another little insight that I have is, so apparently, you know, Kawhi still believes that he's injured and he doesn't feel 100%. Now, the meeting happened because they think like, hey, just kind of tough through it, right? But Kawhi's never been that way. So if you remember when Kawhi was drafted 2011, right? That was the lockout season. So from my understanding is Tim Duncan used to run practices in this during the lockout, 5-on-5, and he'd get the team together. Kawhi always sat those out because he never had a contract. He was worried about getting injured in the in these 5-on-5s, like Spurs with Fragile. Tim Duncan, you know, just a hang kind of thing. But he was like, no, like if I get injured in that, I won't get a contract. So I wonder if that is kind of doing kind of the same place where he's at now. If he gets hurt again, you know, he's trying to get the Supermax. And so he just doesn't want to risk this injury.
I think that's iffy logic. So, I mean, if his thinking is like, well, what if I get injured and I'm out for an extended period of time? The way that I'll cut that off is like by being out for an extended period of time with an injury.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I think he just is a guy that some people, they need to be 100%.
And that's fair. I probably side with him in that regard. I think that, you know, if you're an athlete, you've got, you know what, if you're amazing like Kawhi, you've got like a 20-year earning window, and you're really not going to make any money after that unless you're like Shaq and Charles and you're hilarious. If anything, he's hurting his chances at that Supermax by like doing what he's doing right now, especially because there's some contention around it. But I mean, ultimately, if you want to extend your playing career, this contract's like not the big picture, right? I mean, if he really believes that there's something up, then
that's true. He was looking for the contract after this contract. All right. Well,
but he's had multiple doctors say that it's okay, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like I talked a little bit about this with Joe Borelli on his pod. It's like with tendonitis, if it's tendonitis, it's like, you know, you'll look fine, but it still hurts. Like, you know, like it could be really painful. So
the way I've heard it described is you should conceptualize it as an illness, not as an injury.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow. Kawhi's ill. Kawhi's sick.
Yeah.
All right. Enough about Kawhi. I'm tired of Kawhi.
Yeah.
Are you liking this part of the season, Chris? I mean, you probably watch a lot of games. Like, are you enjoying this sort of stretch run? Because I've been hearing a lot of people call it like the dog days of the season. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm doing other stuff.
See, I'm the only one, man. This is like my favorite part of the season. I'm loving this. I'm loving watching the playoff race in the West. Like every night, I'm tuning into whatever game matters. Like I'm really into it.
I'll add like a little asterisk to that. Everything outside of the actual basketball, I think, is way more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, but the actual on-court product is bad, but experiencing and enjoying the NBA is about so much other stuff, right? It's like the social media. It's like watching the tankers. It's thinking about what the future looks like and like making fake trades on like NBA 2K. And like there's such a vast experience outside of actually watching the basketball, but the basketball is bad.
Right? What are you talking about? We just had a great game last night. This is recording this Thursday night. We had a Toronto-Cleveland game that was a lot of fun. The night before, there was Houston-Portland that was a lot of fun. You're not feeling that?
Oh, no. Those are all great. I just feel like they're a little few and far in between.
Well, okay, every single game with any of the tanking, there's like 9 teams tanking.
All I'm saying.
Any game with those guys is terrible. But
LeBron just had arguably the best game he's ever played in the regular season.
Yeah,
so, I mean, games like that, it's not like there's like a, you know, total desert here. There's definitely some really incredible games.
I'm loving this Western Conference playoff race. Like for me, because for some reason, I have an irrational hate towards the Thunder and the Wolves. Like I hate those teams.
That's not irrational.
I hate those teams so much. Like I hate the Thunder because I don't know why I hate the Thunder. I just hate their uniforms. I've never been a giant Westbrook fan, although I appreciate him like more so than other people. And the Wolves, I just don't like Thibodeau because I feel like Thibodeau is anti-science, and like anti-science, anti-expertise really bothers me. So like I'm just rooting so hard for those teams to fall out, even though it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
I do think we as NBA fans definitely need a break, you know, and I think this is a perfect time for it because you've been watching all year and it's just like, okay, we kind of know these teams are making the playoffs, right? We know which 16 teams are making the playoffs.
Well, in the West,
no, I don't think we do.
In the
right?
West,
do we?
I mean, in the West, you have Denver.
Yeah, we're battling to see who's going to get swept by Golden State Warriors.
Well, no, but the whole seeding, seeding is up for grabs.
No, the seeding part is kind of interesting, but overall, we know pretty much what's going to happen.
We don't know.
Yeah, no, I actually think that's a great point. No, I think that you're probably looking at it pretty much the same way that I am. Like, it's a good breather before NBA playoffs start.
If you're going to take a break, now's the time.
Yeah, no. And there's still really good games.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like spaced out. You know, it's not like, I mean, typically for the first like 40 games of the season up until the All-Star break, I have like multiple screens playing every game and I watch it every night. I mean, I think I haven't watched a basketball game in like 5 days.
Dang. Whoa, you sure? You want me to add that out, Chris?
No. I mean, I think.
Oh, no, I don't care.
I was talking to Matt about this too. Besides the Sixers, yeah, a lot of these games, like I catch, you know, some of the big ones when you know it's heating up and stuff. But this is the, like, I think the break that a lot of us just kind of want, right?
Y'all hate us. Y'all hate us, man. It's fun.
Get out, see a movie. No, well, because you're stuck with a kid. You need this.
Yeah, I'm loving this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to go back and, like, watch that LeBron game, of course. Like, because the Cavs-Raptors thing is really fascinating to me. And the idea that the Raptors might upset the Cavaliers. I'll have to watch that. But, I mean, on any given night, it's not like I knew that was going to happen. Like, I was just out enjoying my life instead of doing that.
Exactly.
And
now's
the game's going to be there.
Exactly. Now's the time to enjoy life just for a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, like, when I'm really breaking down these matchups and everything, like, I'm going to watch that game. But, I mean, I didn't know that was going to happen last night, you know?
Actually, can we talk about that? What did you think about that?
Well, I mean, I didn't watch it. I mean,
right? No, but like, I mean, what John's saying is like, what do you think about Toronto's chances? Because I watched that game because I was like, ooh, maybe Toronto could do it. Maybe, you know, Toronto. This might be Toronto's years.
Sucker.
And then I watched that game. Idiot. LeBron and a bunch of scrubs. Like all the good Cavs are just resting. Kevin Love's still out of shape, and LeBron's just like, nah.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be Cavs Warriors. And, like, I'm not even a little uncertain about it.
No, it's so, yeah. Okay. And this is what cracked me up, because I absolutely knew the Cavs were going to win, because when they were down in half, only thing NBA Twitter did was like, see, this Toronto team, it's real. Toronto's up. They're going to do it this year. And I was like, you guys are out of your minds. There's no way LeBron is losing to these bum-ass teams in the East.
Death doesn't matter in the playoffs, and that's their big strength. I don't really get it.
And it's like, yeah, the Cavs have stumbled a little because their second best player has been out.
Well, Chris, can you, as a smart guy, can you? I love Denver. I love Denver at the beginning of the season. Can you just tell me what happened to them? Like, why are they not good? Like, they seem like they should be good to me. Like, what's going on?
Well, I mean, I did do Fixing the Denver Nuggets podcast here recently, but I mean, really. The problem starts with all the old white guys, right? Like management needs to be cleaned out, and Mike Malone's not a very good coach.
Ooh.
That's sort of the bottom line, and it's a big issue. I mean, I feel like organizationally, like they are super flawed. Like it's sort of inexcusable because, I mean, Nikola Jokic, guys like him don't just come along very often. I mean, I understand the defensive limitations. I think they're a little bit overblown, but that's besides the point. Like, if you have a guy who can single-handedly make your offense into a top five offense when, like, Kenneth Faried is starting next to you, I mean, that's like a generational talent. I mean, it's like, I feel like in the same way that people are, like, looking for, like, Trae Young to be the next Steph Curry and everyone's looking for the next Draymond, there's a really good chance that people like 10 years from now are going to be like, who's going to be the next Nikola Jokic? Because he could be the new passing big paradigm and like really start something. And the fact that they just can't be good and they keep taking the ball out of his hands and they're inconsistent and all the Nurkic BS, like they just need to clean house. It's just like it's pathetic, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love that team. Like, I love their players, and like I really thought they were going to do well. And I sort of reached the same conclusion, despite being a neophyte, that like Mike Malone,
the players are good.
Just Mike Malone can't coach. Like, took him forever to give up on Moutier. I don't know what they're doing with this plum dog, dude. Like, just, you know, like it just seems like they're not playing the right guys in the right combinations. So
I think I was never high on Denver. I think it's just the NBA Twitter hipster team.
No, but
they
these
love
players
them.
Are good, man.
They're so
Jokic
good that they're
is good.
Not good. You
Harris
just said how
is good.
Bad.
Murray's good.
Yeah, but that's
they're really good.
They're good, but you look at the West and everyone else is great. That's the difference.
Nah, that is great.
The difference.
You got two great teams in the West. That's it. Denver.
Yeah, man.
Denver.
Like,
Denver
they
should be
lost
the three
the other
seed.
Day.
Denver
what
should
are some
not
of the teams
be
they've
a three
lost
seed.
To
Get
recently?
Out of here.
They lost to freaking Memphis. Memphis, who just lost by 61 points tonight.
Yeah. But
okay, I heard this great nugget of information. Oh. Since the All-Star break, they've lost to every team projected to be out of the playoffs.
Whoa, Denver? Wow.
Yeah.
They have lost to the Lakers.
But
I know that.
See, right now the thing is Denver doesn't have the star.
Jokic. Do you not know who's Jokic? Jokic is amazing. John, you just admit you don't watch basketball. So I'm going to tell you, as somebody who watches basketball, that Jokic is amazing.
And here's the thing: like, not you have defensively. Gary Harris take a few more shots.
He could be fine defensively.
He could be fine defensively. Your center cannot be could be fine defensively.
That's the problem. He's underrated. He's passable. He's passable.
If he was that good, where is he?
Chris, just tell John he's wrong, okay? Please.
Yeah, hey, you're wrong. I mean, really, Jokic is having the same effect on his team, I think, that LeBron has over the course of the season. Like, LeBron has a negative net rating. He's just not played defense. He's just, like, watched people score on him. But he single-handedly is the only reason why the Cavaliers' offense is elite. If the Nuggets were in the Eastern Conference, they would make the playoffs. I mean, they're basically the Cavaliers in that regard. But, I mean, that's, you know, to your point, that's not good enough in the Western Conference. It's not going to cut it. But... like, if the Clippers make it and the Nuggets don't, even at the bottom feeders there, like the Timberwolves, like, God, the Spurs, the Pelicans, like, it's just, like, sort of some trash. As good as the Western Conference typically is, there's been so many injuries. And, like, the Pelicans, the Nuggets should not be as bad
as the Pelicans. There's no excuse.
The Pelicans are
there's no excuse.
Hey, if Jokic was that star, he wouldn't be there.
No, he's limited by what they're doing around him.
And Anthony Davis isn't?
Oh, I mean, Anthony Davis has...
because Anthony Davis plays defense.
Well, I mean...
Anthony Davis is much better than Jokic.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what
Anthony Davis is like a top five player. All right. Okay, which nicely...
Anthony Davis is better than like everyone in the league.
Which...
he's really good.
Which nicely segues...
No, and I'm not saying that Jokic isn't really, really good. Don't get me wrong.
I think he just said that.
I did not say he was...
I think we could check the tape.
Did I say he was bad? I said he's not good at defense.
Yeah, you said it. You said
he's not a star like the rest of the West.
You said, as a secret legit dude, I think he's bad. That's what you said. We'll check the tape.
That's fine. I mean, look. Yeah. Look, at one point, you got to be able to carry your team to that level, and I don't think he's there
yet.
Do
you, when you're 22, like, and you can't really speak English yet? I mean...
well, that's fine.
To be fair.
Okay, but yeah, maybe in a few years he'll be there, but I think the proof... Yes, as a 22-year-old who hasn't figured out defensive concepts yet, as your center, and you don't have other great players around you, that's kind of where he's at right now, which is fine. I mean, I think, you know, and even Giannis kind of falls in that. I mean, Giannis, I think, is definitely better. But, like, I think we tried to think that Jokic was at a place that he's just not there yet.
No, I think Jokic right now, I mean, there's an argument for him being a more impactful player than Giannis. I think that's probably getting a little Twitter hipster.
Yeah,
like,
there you go.
I'll actually step off of that clip.
Yeah, if you're careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But look, I think you're totally right, and it's really hard to build a good defense around a center who's as poor defensively as he is. But you're obligated to do that because, again, he single-handedly makes an offense top five. I mean, we can walk through the guys. Harden can do that, I think. Steph Curry can do that. LeBron can obviously do that. Giannis has not been able to do that. Of course, Giannis isn't, like, deplorable defensively.
Yeah.
But and you know, Giannis is Giannis. But Nikola Jokic, when they just play through him, he's like a triple-double guy. He, like, averages a triple-double, and the Nuggets are, like, a top-three offense consistently. Like, I feel like it's been, like, thoroughly demonstrated. And like, you just have to get Paul Millsap. You know, they should go get, like, Andre Roberson. He'd be perfect for the Nuggets because I just feel like he'd sit in the dunker spot and, like, you know, let other guys take shots and just be like, no, no thanks. I'm just going to go play defense. Of course, he probably wouldn't be as good when he's injured now. So there's that.
That's true.
All right. Well, last thing before we get to our segments, as an NBA podcast, we're required to ask you for your MVP ballot, your top five, Chris, if you could give it, or your top three, if you feel like going shorter.
No, I've got a whole top five list right here.
I can't wait to copy it after the podcast and repeat it to people so I sound smart. But yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, I think you in particular are going to love this MVP.
Okay, no. So, is Jokic first? Jokic 1 through 5.
No, we'll start with number 5. It's LeBron James.
Mm. Yeah. Ooh, heard of him.
It's a regular season award.
Got to play defense.
Like, he's going to be in. I mean, a lot of these guys, like James Harden, when he doesn't make it to the finals, he's not going to be in contention for finals MVP.
Very true.
That's the trade-off. Number 4, Damian Lillard.
Ooh, Dame time.
Video game Dame. Like that one of my favorites. Now, there's a star.
Yeah, I love Dame, too. We're big fans of Dame.
So,
here's
the thing.
He's the coolest player in the league, I think.
Yeah, he might be.
Oh, man, he's so cool.
He is.
Is he a better rapper or NBA player? He's really good at both.
He's better. He's a better NBA player. Yeah. As a rapper myself, I'm qualified to to comment.
I would really be...
I actually don't think he's that good. I think Lonzo is a better rapper.
Oh my God. Yeah. How dare you?
Lonzo's definitely a better rapper than NBA player right now.
How dare you try to talk about me and say I'm dumb when you just said Lonzo's a better rapper. Oh, my God.
He's a better rapper
than Dame.
See what
I'm dealing with, Chris? See what I'm dealing with?
Yeah, you see, the data would indicate that that's incorrect.
Yes.
His RPM, which is rap plus minus, is like really low.
No, on the real though, Lonzo got better beats. That's what it is.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Whoever's making Lonzo's beats is better than whoever's making Dame's beats. Okay.
Stop.
I've listened to one song from each. Okay. I think I'm qualified.
All right.
I like your ballot so far, Chris.
Okay.
I agree.
Dame at number four.
Look, and here's number three, and this is like, okay, number three, hammer fact, Joel Embiid.
Ooh. Strong take. I agree. Hey, that's...
Look, he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, right? I was like thinking a lot about this list, and I just sat down and I was like, look, so defensively, he's like maybe the best player in the league. And if you look at his basketball reference, right, I pulled this up yesterday. Look. These are like MVP caliber stats, are they not? 23.5 points a game, 3.3 assists, which is a ton from the big man, 11.2 rebounds, 2 blocks, 24 points, 12 rebounds. Like, that's like an MVP season, right? Yeah.
Plus you add the,
Plus you add the Twitter.
You add the Twitter, the Instagram.
Yeah, woo! Yeah.
And he's going to win DPOY, and he's like probably like boning Rihanna.
Yeah, he's sliding into DM ratio is strong.
He shut her down, which is even better.
He said,
I'm too good for Rihanna.
Wow, he's a legend.
I agree, he's a legend. I don't know if he's three on the MVP ballot just because the Sixers aren't quite good enough, but
they're about to be.
The Sixers are great.
The fourth seed.
Okay.
Look, better the Sixers than the are better than the Cavaliers.
Better than the Nuggets. Right. Better than Jokic.
All right. Shut up. Right, I'm editing all that out anyways.
Look,
too.
The Sixers are really good.
They're great.
They're a really good team.
They're going to be a three seed.
That's a fire take, Chris. I admire it.
I feel like that shouldn't be controversial.
I'm guessing number two. Can I guess number two? I'm guessing number two is Anthony Davis or no?
No, it's James Harden.
Whoa. James Harden number two.
No.
Yeah. Dare you get wild with it.
All right.
You get wild with Chris.
I have no idea who your number one is.
It's got to be Anthony Davis. I mean, if Harden.
I feel like if you think about it, just if you look back at NBA history, there's only one player who really makes any sense at this point. There's like an unbreakable statistical argument. Obviously, Russell Westbrook is the MVP.
Wait, what?
I love it.
Of what? This year?
It's crazy. I love it, man. Dude, he's averaging a triple-double.
Here's the thing.
Again this year?
He's hunting rebounds, right? And he has 9.7 rebounds a game. And he's already over, let's see, how many assists a game is he at right now?
It's 9.
10.2 assists 10.2. already. He's going to average a triple-double. And, like, that's it. You win MVP. Game over. Nothing matters except for triple doubles.
This take is so
he's
hot.
MVP.
This is the hottest. This is the hottest top five MVP
I
mode.
Even,
I love
even
it,
tell
Chris.
Being,
I love you so much, man. This is so great.
I can't tell if you're
Look,
being
they should
sarcastic.
Just like give him MVP right now.
Are you being
they
sarcastic?
Just, they should just give him a championship trophy right now. Like triple doubles, guys. Do you even like fucking know what a triple double is right now?
I love it.
All right. Okay. All right. I get it.
I love it.
It's obviously James Harden.
I get the bit. You had me going, though.
You had me going.
I was like, this guy's wild.
This guy, we just had
the lunatic on the pod.
I can't stand
Russell Westbrook.
Oh, gosh.
So wait, it is Anthony Davis then, right, for number two?
Yeah. Anthony Davis is two. James Harden's one.
Okay. All right.
Woo.
Now it's changed. Now you're slandering Russell Westbrook's?
I don't like Russell Westbrook, Chris.
Everything nice I said about you.
Oh, man. Chris almost tried to shred all his credibility on the Super Hoopers pod.
And
which
then,
so
he,
happens.
Then he did.
Which he already did by coming on the pod.
I know. Yeah.
Guys, triple doubles. I mean, have you ever heard of a triple double before?
Oh, my God. Are you anti triple double?
John loves triple doubles. John can only count to 10, so he loves it.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I mean, like, I like triple doubles in the same way that, like, let me think. I really like 100 packs of index cards. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's a good round number. They're really clean and crisp and stuff. But like, you're being like, it's like a little bit on the spectrum, right? Like that, your dorky side is opening up when you just care about round numbers to that effect, right? And it doesn't really mean anything.
I agree.
What?
I agree. Oh, what's the difference between 9.7 and 10? Nothing.
I don't know. What's the difference between 364 days or a whole year? There's a difference, all right?
Okay. Is there?
Yes.
What is the difference?
You did it for a whole year or you didn't?
All right.
Okay. You know what I did? I walked to work every single day the whole year. That sounds way better than I walked to work every day except, you know, I walked 364 days.
John, I'm going to have to cut this out just so you don't sound like a Luddite. Let's do a little get at me, dog. So this is where we tweet at NBA players and score points if they respond. I don't know what the score is. I don't know if you've been keeping track, Chris. I don't know if you have somebody over there who's on the dedicated get at me, dog Super Hoopers beat. But
hey, you guys didn't give me credit, by the way, for like I said that Bucks guy. Like,
oh,
response
you did.
To everything,
you did. Yeah. Sorry. No, did we? Yeah. Did we not name drop you? Did we not say that you suggested it?
I think you actually did.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You told us to tweet at whoever it was, some old Bucks player that actually did get at us.
Oh, Marquise Daniels.
Marquise Daniels.
Oh, we had a great one.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. That was amazing.
We had a live one. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We had a live.
We had a live. Our first live get at me.
Oh yeah, that was incredible.
That was amazing.
I remember seeing that. I was
Thank
like,
you,
this
Chris.
Dope.
Okay. So you're okay. So you're familiar with the game. This week it's Mike Scott of the Wizards. So what I tweeted at Mike was I found a really awful drawing of a wizard. I found like a drawing of a wizard a 5-year-old would do. All right. And so I tweeted that image at him and I said, I made this dope wizard drawing. How many retweets does this have to get for you to get it tattooed on you? Hashtag wizards, hashtag art.
I saw that Mike Scott's a huge he went to UVA?
UVA, yeah.
And so that's all he tweets about. So I wrote, what's a UVA fan supposed to do today? Need help, Mike Scott. Any new music that could cheer me up? And then what's his name from the show Blackish just crying on the couch?
Anthony Anderson. Please, yeah. Put some respect on the man's name. He's in a hit network comedy.
He is. And he plays the celebrity game. So
yeah. Right. Chris, did you tweet at Mike Scott?
Yeah, man. I designed an emoji of Mike Scott.
What? That's what it was. You texted it to me.
Guys. Yeah. Go look at you know, pull it up, man. It's like twitter.com/allmanyballin. There's like a Mike Scott emoji. Let's see. It was my last tweet 9 hours ago. Hey, Mike Scott, I made an emoji of you. I think it's pretty good. Thinking of getting it tattooed on my arm. What do you think? Nothing. Crickets. It's a Mike Scott emoji.
That's pretty good. I didn't see that. I don't know how I didn't see it. I follow
you. Yeah, you know, so we both went the tattoo route because he's famous for having tons of emojis tattooed on him.
That's solid, Chris. You know, he might see it later. He might. No, are they playing tonight?
I have a feeling Mike Scott doesn't interact at all. So, sadly.
Yeah.
All right, so none of us got anything, right, John? You didn't get anything?
Well, follow me on Twitter so you can see it.
Yeah, yeah, follow.
No, I follow you. I
follow
you. It says it right here. I'm not lying.
I did my best, guys. I fulfilled.
Here's the thing, Chris.
That's what it is. This game is really hard.
It's very difficult.
It's very difficult. And that's when you win, you know, when you get something, it makes the victory even more sweeter. So, yeah. Don't give up.
Keep shooting. You got to keep shooting.
Shoot. We're going to dip out, do little headlines where I just read the news. Then we're going to bring Chris back in to pitch a guerrilla marketing ideas to
him. Is that how we're going to edit this?
These are headlines. This is where I just read the news from the newspaper.
Just reading the news. Straight facts.
So this week, Stan Van Gundy went on an epic rant against the officials. I don't know if you heard it.
I did. Yeah. I did. We had him on the pod last week.
That's true. We did. No, we had Jeff. We had Jeff Van Gundy.
Oh, this is Stan. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, he said the league is unfair. And he said the most unfair thing about it is he has to coach the Pistons when he has the worst GM in the league.
Headlines.
He's the GM. That's the joke. If you guys didn't know,
he's the coach. Stan's not going.
I'm hearing
he's not.
Even us lowly fan types are hearing
like
that he's not going to make
know,
it.
Like I'm secretly legit. I'm hearing it's not looking good. Yeah. From Stan Van.
What do you mean? Is it not looking good for the GMing or the GMing and the coaching?
It's not looking good for both. I'm just saying it's not. I don't know. I'm just saying there might be a for sale sign.
As a secret legit person,
you can buy his house for like a dollar in Detroit. That's what I'm hearing.
Did I ever tell you that story where my student bought a house in Detroit?
Yeah,
because I mentioned that in class.
Yes,
and then he went and bought a house in one of my classes.
And your freshman student owns more property than you do now.
Sure, he does.
Hey, but you know what? Detroit's on the way up. As soon as you get rid of Stan Van.
I really want to go to Detroit. We might have to make it our destination city next year.
Oh, so we'll love Michigan. Shout out to Michigan.
Have you never been?
I got family in the...
I think Detroit might be fun for a couple days. We'll see.
Yeah. Should we rent or buy while we're there?
We might want to look into just buying a house in Detroit and staying there.
I've made buying a building in Detroit for a dollar jokes for the last like 5 years.
But it's not even a joke. It's a real thing.
You got more headlines.
I got more headlines. Jordan Clarkson, I don't know if you saw this, he went on the Road Tripping podcast and said he believed that, you know, a million years ago when the dinosaurs were around, that humans were also around and they had the dinosaurs for pets.
I saw that.
It was, I know it sounds crazy, but they later went to an eyewitness and the eyewitness confirmed Jordan's claims. That's 100% true. Yeah, that's what Thon Maker said.
Headlines. Wow, he went on. He's old. Lying on that birth certificate.
Yeah, Joe Ingles bought a blind child fancy eyewear. So
I thought you were gonna say he bought a blind child.
No,
I was like, he got that NBA money.
He bought him fancy eyewear so he could see.
Okay, okay.
The kid was super thankful until he saw Joe Ingles' face.
Oh, headlines! that's a mean
Aussie. Imagine the first you put the eyewear on, and the first thing you see is Joe Ingles' face. I want to go back. Take me back.
Headlines. Wow.
Sad news.
Oh no.
Ty Lue and Steve Clifford. They both stepped down this season due to health issues.
Yeah, I saw that.
Getting themselves more healthy. And now the next coach people are worried about is Tom Thibodeau. And actually, so am I after looking into it. I went to WebMD and I put in the symptoms and it said he has dementia. Yeah.
Did.
Yeah, the symptoms I put in were yelling, wild hand gestures, and playing Derrick Rose.
Headlines! WebMD, never wrong.
Put it in there.
Never wrong.
Ooh. Last headline, there were reports, we talked about this, of a player-only meeting where the Spurs confronted Kawhi. When reach for comment, Kawhi said...
Headlines.
Breaking news. When reach for comment, R.C. Buford said... R.C. Buford being real quiet.
Being a little quiet.
Being real quiet. Hey, the Spurs run a tight ship.
I know. Is he taking cues from Colangelo? What's going on? Colangelo was out there. Colangelo was out there. I've seen Colangelo. I got footage of him. I don't even know what R.C. Buford looks like.
Well, first of all,
like.
That's all the headlines fit to pod.
Oh, very true.
And second of all, I think not saying anything is the right move. Like I said, we talked about it. Like, Kawhi's either lying, doesn't want to play for the Spurs, or is injured. R.C. Buford, what's R.C. Buford going to say?
I mean, he should be doing what he's doing, just leaking to Woj.
Who do you think leaked it to Woj? So Woj comes out and says, basically, is very anti-Kawhi. What Woj reported was like...
It's Buford.
You think Buford's leaking to Woj?
Yeah, who else would?
I don't know.
Who else runs that team?
I think it's like somebody very...
Pop doesn't talk to anyone.
I think it's very ancillary. Like, because it does... Because Woj keeps getting things wrong with the Spurs. Like, Woj keeps getting things like...
Edit that out.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Edit that out.
You can never say anything bad about Woj.
No, I didn't say that. Yeah. Adrian, you heard me.
You heard me. Come get me in my sleep.
Ooh.
Woj.
I think so. I think like we talked about it before, it's a two-prong attack, right? It's you got to put the pressure on Kawhi.
Right.
Because the meeting happened before the article came out, right? Because remember, Tony...
of course.
When Manu... But remember, Manu came out and said... They interviewed him and he says, I don't think Kawhi's playing.
Right.
I have to have that mentality. Right. And then we found out that came after the meeting. So they met with Kawhi, had their talk, and then Manu's like, I don't think this dude's playing.
Right.
We have to prepare like he's not. So say what they want. Danny Green and all them can... post and stuff like because I bet it wasn't as bad as Woj made it sound, but Woj is saying that to put the pressure on Kawhi.
So it's someone who wants to put the pressure
someone
on
wants
Kawhi.
Put the, who wants to put the pressure on him to play the Spurs.
It's, but do you, so I mean, do you think the Spurs really even care if he plays this season? I
yes,
mean, they're not winning.
They need to win.
They're not winning the title this year anyways. So it's
I bet you they think so. Last year, man, they were up 20.
Actually, you know what? If Kawhi came back fully healthy.
Yeah.
The Kawhi from last year, I've said this before, I think that Spurs team could take down the Rockets team.
Yeah.
Because they beat them last year, and I know they have Chris Paul. I know this Rockets team is historically great, but there's just...
They got that edge.
They got that edge, and James Harden, you know, disappears in the playoffs.
It's not impossible to think.
It's not impossible. It's not a 90-10 series.
No.
It's more 50-50. And I would put it in the Spurs' favor.
I'd probably do 65 for the Rockets. I think the Rockets just have more firepower right now.
Yeah, but it's closer. And also, it's like Pop kind of owns D'Antoni.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's not impossible to imagine the Spurs beating the Rockets.
Absolutely, I agree.
And then this Warriors team, whether these injuries are real or not, the ankle thing with Curry is concerning.
Yeah.
So the ankle thing with Curry is concerning. You have Curry's out, and, you know, if one of the other three are out, you got a shot.
Dude, the West is a bloodbath. There are some good-ass teams. And the Spurs are right there. They were number three most of the year.
Yeah.
What are they, 4-5-ish now?
No, they're back there.
They're back 6-7?
But they're going to make the playoffs.
But that's without Kawhi Leonard.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Imagine if the Houston didn't have James Harden. This guy was in the MVP vote last year.
No, I mean, a lot of the smart guy NBA guys had him as the MVP.
Yeah.
I mean, he was Zach Lowe's MVP.
He is that good, and the Spurs
are the sixth seed right now.
Yeah, Spurs are the sixth seed. They're hanging in there.
Right.
And look, who's their best player? Aldridge.
Yeah.
That a lot of people think sucks.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, you know, if you're the Spurs and you're like, yo, we're in this. We know we have the mental edge. If we could just get Kawhi back, they're probably thinking, like, just toughen up. So how do you do it?
Ace, right? So you think it came from the Spurs organization.
Absolutely.
And they weren't in the meeting. I mean, it's possible that they weren't in the meeting.
Yeah. So they're going to push as much pressure as, like, yo, your team's, like, come on, this is happening.
And if you put it from RC Buford, the GM, like, you know, he could have heard this from the players. Like, yeah, we pushed him to play. He tells Woj that. Woj kind of spins it.
Yep.
So,
and he says that. And then all the players got Kawhi's back because what do you want? You want your players to have Kawhi back. Now Kawhi's like, my team got me. I got to prove Woj wrong. I'm back in the playoffs. I'm playing.
Well,
no RC.
So you're saying RC's playing chess here.
I think he's you know, I don't know.
He's doing what he can do.
I think he's doing what he can do. I mean, he's doing the best Colangelo impersonation.
Oh, God. All right. You had me. I was about to give you a compliment that you're actually like making sense.
I make a lot of sense here.
All right. Let's bring Chris back on to pitch him guerrilla marketing ideas. Well, I have I have tons of ideas that I want to run by you.
He never shares them with me. So this is great.
I've been saving them up because I'm like, okay, we need to, you know, really, you know, get our best foot forward here.
Well, I mean, like, this is like a job interview, right?
You pitch it. Matt's gonna pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
And you tell us if this is a smart thing.
Yeah, yeah. This is like now a reality TV show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Will this help,
you know, not only us but the network?
Right.
Or will this get us kicked off the network?
That's another thing too.
Let us know if it's gonna get us kicked off.
For us, like for the Super Hoopers, and then I have some for the network. So I'll start with the Super Hoopers one. Okay. So I think what I would like to do as Super Hoopers is get a rapper, find like a SoundCloud rapper, all right, and then get him to do a rap song. And in the rap song, he raps, there's like a line about every single NBA player. So like all 410 NBA players.
Oh.
And then that,
like the Pokemon rap.
Yeah, like the Pokemon rap or whatever. And then it's like, that'll go viral. Yo, this guy did a rap that has every NBA player in it, you know? And it's like, and the chorus is about Super Hoopers, or maybe it's brought to you by Super Hoopers. That's the idea. What do you think?
I feel like that's strike one, man.
That's my best one too.
Oh, okay.
Unless Lonzo Ball does it.
Okay, this one. So we have a friend. We have a friend who's kind of a wacky guy. He's an interesting character. His name's LeJean.
Is it Dave Futernick?
Although maybe we have Dave do this.
Okay, right? This would be good. Shout out to Dave.
Basically, we're going to get an actor, all right?
You want to get LeJean? Oh, gosh.
We can get LeJean. We can get Dave. Yeah, whatever.
Let's do it.
Okay, are you familiar with the clip that went viral in Australia about, like, it was like the Australian councilman, like, railing about how Ben Simmons should be in the All-Star game? Did you see that, Chris?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So we're going to do something similar. What we're going to do is, you know, we're going to go to an LA city council meeting, okay? And we're going to film our crazy friend. You know how they can have like citizens talk, and we're going to have our crazy friend like get up there and like, you know, do like a 5-minute rant or maybe like a 1-minute rant like railing at them, asking what the city is doing to get LeBron James. And we'll write a bunch of like a long speech for them to be like, what are they doing? Well, you know, this should be the number one priority. I don't care about, you know, I don't care about running water. I don't care about the Olympics. You guys all need to figure out the plan to get LeBron. And then we film it. And it's like, then that goes viral. Look at
this. You could break down the economic impact of having LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, look at this crazy homeless guy, like, you know, yelling at a city council meeting about LeBron. Isn't it hilarious? And then it comes out, you know,
everyone's collective quality of life goes up just by LeBron being in proximity to you.
Exactly.
I like this. This is pretty good.
Sellers, you know, make up a ton of money.
This is pretty great.
Yeah. So then
the HGH market just goes right up.
The underground HGH market.
Yeah. This is great.
Yeah. So
tips the balance away from Florida.
Yeah, exactly. We'll put all this in the rant, and then so this rant goes viral. Like this. Look at this crazy guy. Then it comes out that, you know, we're the ones behind
it. I like this.
Okay.
What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, no, that's...
It's a solid one?
I imagine that if I was involved in politics, I would, like, just stand up and clap after I heard this.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. You know? Ooh. It wouldn't be, like, sarcastic. It wouldn't be, like, oh, man, like, that was hilarious. It would be, like, yeah, absolutely. Like, why aren't we focusing all of our resources on getting LeBron James? Like, what is it going to take for us to wake up? You know, like make LA great again, you know?
I like this. Okay. We should be sitting in.
Yeah,
we like,
slow
but
clap.
Like in suits, like we're serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you should stand up and start clapping.
Slow clap.
Yeah, maybe you should be dressed as like a security officer.
Why a security officer?
Well, then I'll look legit.
Okay.
They'll be like, oh, this security guard even started clapping.
Oh, right. Oh, like,
you know what I mean? Like you don't look like a plant.
Like, right. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Or you could dress up as like Delonte West. And be like, oh man, his father showed up, his long lost father.
Oh god. Let me know if you want that, cut it out.
Yeah.
Wait.
No. Leave it.
That's common knowledge.
We can leave that.
Okay, next one. Okay. I want to make a calculator, like an online calculator. Like you go to a website and it's a calculator, right? But what it is, it's like the Charles Barkley analytics calculator. All right. And then whatever you enter in, like 2 + 2 or whatever, like, you know, 98 divided by 6, whatever number you calculate will just come up with like a Charles Barkley. The answer will be like a Charles Barkley like catchphrase about how math is stupid and analytics are stupid. Once again, something to go viral that we're responsible for.
I thought you were anti-intellectual, though.
This is like making fun of Charles Barkley. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, look at the Charles Barkley calculator, you know, and it's like, you know, you don't like this one? This one would go viral, on NBA on the NBA subreddit.
I feel like it has some versatility to it.
Well, no, you could. There'd like be different settings. There'd be like a Charles Barkley setting. There'd be like a Jeff Van Gundy setting. I don't know whoever else the anti-analytics crowds are.
Let's see.
You're not feeling
Super Hooper setting.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's keep reading. What else you got?
Okay. These ones are half baked. Okay.
Oh.
These ones are
that one wasn't okay.
These ones are half baked. All right. This one actually, I don't know if it. I wanted to set up a hotline, okay? I want to set up like 100 hotlines, you know, like a number you call, okay? And each hotline is tailor-made for each NBA player, okay? So it's like we design a hotline for LeBron James, a hotline for Paul George, a hotline for Markelle Fultz. And all it is like positive affirmation like for them.
Okay.
Like, hey, you're only averaging, you know, 5 points a game, but... You know, your pick and roll coverage is great, that sort of stuff. So it's just like we're just putting good out in the world. We're designing these hotlines for players to call to get some positivity in their life.
I like that.
And then
I like that because Russell Westbrook would call his like every game afterwards. It's like, look, man, triple doubles, that's history. Oscar Robertson was the only other guy. Like, even if you don't win the MVP, you should be able to be like O.J. Simpson, like break into James Harden's house and just take it. It's rightfully yours, you know?
364 days a year is stupid, but a year is cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. No, but like that one would be fun because people are like, oh, let me call, I don't know, the Kent Bazemore one just to see what it's like, you know? So we'd have to set up a lot of them for that one to work. But this other one's really half-baked. Do you remember last year when like these guys sent NBA players potatoes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so everyone was like, I was trying to think of, what could we send NBA players? Like, what would be, you know, a thing we could send them? And I couldn't really think of anything good. The only thing I thought of is if we sent them microscopes. Ooh, and then you look into the microscope, and then it's like a special message for them or something.
Oh, wow.
So they're like, oh, what's this? And then they look, and then they say,
who do
like,
you think would actually use the microscope to look, though?
I don't know. That's the thing. You know, I don't know. It would depend on the player.
I feel like Steven Adams
Doug
would.
McDermott.
Doug McDermott. Yeah.
Well, my
idea. Name the white players.
My idea would be to send it to like the players who are like the sixth man or seventh man. Because the idea being like, it looks like you're microscopic, but what you really do is like big.
Oh, I bet you. You know who would actually be really into it would be like Beasley. I bet Beasley owns a couple microscopes.
Oh, yeah.
I bet he owns a couple of microscopes.
What if you sent like each player on a team a different piece of a treasure map?
Ah.
Ooh. Ooh, okay. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Or like a different, each of them a different puzzle piece.
Oh.
And do it for every team. And like some teams just like won't get it. Right. Like they just won't be like, hey, did you get a piece of a treasure map? Like,
yeah.
Is that it?
No, I got one more. Let me just do one more. This one's completely ridiculous. And this is another plan to go viral. All right. I have a list of hoaxes. I'm just going to give you one of the hoaxes. I don't want to do a hoax. Like, I don't want to contribute to like the fake news, but I'm just saying if you as the network want to do it, you know, go.
Okay.
You feel free to have these ideas. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. You find somebody. Find somebody who has the same name as an NBA player, okay? So let's say you found somebody named Kevin Durant, all right?
Okay.
Then you sign...
I know someone named Kevin Love.
Okay, Kevin Love. You know someone named Kevin Love. Great. So then you sign Kevin Love to some contract, all right?
Oh.
You pay him a dollar or something like that. And then you tweet out... And then you make like really, really weird clauses, like Kevin Love is not allowed to ride jet skis like every third Friday. Kevin Love is not allowed to watch the TV show ER. You know, they like really weird stuff in there, you know?
Okay.
And then you tweet it out, like you tweet out the contract, like this is, hey, we found Kevin Love's NBA contract, you know? And look at these weird clauses he has. Like, what's up with these? Look, can you believe the clauses in Kevin Love's contract, you know? And then that goes viral. Like, people pass it around, like, look, what a weirdo. Why are the Cavs requiring this stuff, you know? And your Larry Coons, like, analyze it, you know? Then it comes out, it was just all a hoax that you signed this other guy, like, Kevin Love.
Harden's not allowed to go to the strip club before game six in a playoff.
Harden is allowed 2 STDs per year max. Okay.
Yeah, dude, Harden goes viral all the time.
Yeah, there it is.
Man, all right, so that's all my guerrilla marketing tepid responses. I'd say
you know, the one that we never did that probably because it's highly illegal, but I think would really work is we always wanted to catfish an NBA player.
Yeah.
You know, get a girl to like slide in his DMs and whatever, have him meet us at a hotel, and then we're sitting there with podcast mics. Yeah, and then we're sitting there, and then he's like, what the? And we're like, yo, you have to be on our podcast or else we're going to release this.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We'll just talk about
we didn't do that one because it's extortion.
Yeah, the extortion part of it was probably the reason why we did it.
Yeah, that was
the rest of it is pretty smart.
You got to make risks in business.
Right.
See? Dude, he runs our network.
other one that we talked about previously is you sign us to $1 million contract. Okay, so you sign us to $1 million contract.
Another one.
Yeah.
You know, the fine print of the contract is you're paying us a dollar for 1 million years. Okay. But then you send out the press release like, these are the first $1 million podcasters.
Almighty ballers.
Almighty, yeah.
This network signs the first ever $1 million podcasting team.
Mm. That sort of stuff. Gets all sorts of play, like the podcasting boom, the faces of the podcasting boom, you know?
Yeah.
And then hopefully no one reads the fine print of the contract. So there's that one for you too, Chris, you know?
I mean, I think that would put us into bankruptcy. Like, I mean, what do you think? We make a dollar a day? Like, that's ludicrous.
Not a day, a year. A year. It's only a dollar a year. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Also, right. You know, maybe
well, still.
Maybe we could combine the contract ideas, and there's a clause in it that if we watch ER, it's void. And then John and I just immediately watch ER.
Yeah.
What's with the show ER?
I don't know. It's the first
Grey's
show.
Grey's Anatomy.
It's the first show. You know, I was trying to think of the word Grey's Anatomy.
Matt's really old.
Yeah. I'm old.
He's really old and washed.
I'm washed, man.
So ER is like, he's just catching up now.
Yeah. ER is a good show.
Very good show.
If you go viral, you might need to go to the ER, guys.
Yeah. Hey, yo.
Um, All right. I think this is why
I don't have a comedy podcast.
I think that's all we're going to keep you for, Chris. Let's finish up with a little shout out to Beefs. I have like basically nothing this week. We were going super long. Got one shout out. I just got one big time shout out to Big Baby Davis.
Ooh.
I don't know if you saw, John. Did you see the plane video?
I didn't. So.
Okay. So let me just.
So I've met Big Baby. He's
a wild man.
He's very nice. I've worked with him a few times, so I purposely kind of kept a little.
Well, the plane video is nothing. It makes him look good. Like, so first of all, he was like arrested for marijuana or something, and then he makes this video of, and he's on a plane. I'll just describe the video because it's amazing. He's on a plane. He's eating Popeye's chicken.
Yep.
Okay. That's what's in one hand. In the other hand is just a bag of money, like $90,000 in cash, with his championship ring in the middle of it. And that is just, he's just pontificating about, you know, how he's going to beat this charge. And he's on a private plane while he's doing all this. So it's just incredible.
Yeah, probably shouldn't do that, buddy.
Why not? What's the downside? You're amazing. What's the downside of making a dope video where everyone will love you because you're on a private plane?
What if he's guilty?
Well, who cares if he's guilty?
Well, you don't want to be out there with a bag of cash on a private jet
You're an NBA player. Like you got bags of cash. You just have bags of cash. So
lay low.
Also, they found a bag of cash in his hotel room when they arrested him. So it's
lay low. Just lay low.
This dude got multiple bags of cash.
Just lay low. Real G's move in silence.
I ride with you, Big Baby.
I love Big Baby, but real G's move in silence.
Don't get caught up.
Don't get caught up in the social media. That's how they catch you, man.
This is 2018. We're arresting people for weed. Come on, guys.
Jeff Sessions ain't going to throw a dude named Big Baby in jail.
Right. You're right.
Keep your mouth shut, Big Baby.
Jeff Sessions sees that the clock is ticking on his little tenure. Yeah. So he's like, I gotta throw as many black people in jail as possible.
He would love to throw black babies in jail. That's what gets Jeff Sessions off.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw the babies.
Yeah, that's
He doesn't even know him as Glenn.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, what? He's like, what? There's a big black baby selling weed?
Yeah.
That's just a law enforcement's number one priority.
Number one priority. You gotta be careful.
What we're trying to say is Jeff Sessions is a racist POS.
Yes. And free Big Baby.
And free Big Baby.
Possibly free Big Baby.
John, I wanted to ask you. I just thought, I don't know the answer to this question. What is the most money you've ever had on your person?
Ooh.
In cash.
Oh. U.S. dollars or foreign dollars?
Just total dollars.
I've carried a large amount of cash.
Okay, what for? What to what end?
I don't know. Probably in like the five digits.
To what end? Though, five digits. So what? 10,000, 15,000,
something like that. You know, I might have had to fly with some money. I don't know.
You might have had a what?
I might have had to fly, take a little plane trip with some cash.
So you took a plane trip with some cash.
You know, real G's move in silence, man. What are we trying to? Are you trying to big baby me?
I'm trying to get a good story out of you.
I will say
that I was there. When one of my friends bribed somebody $15,000 because at UCLA the housing is like really crunched in the apartments.
Yeah.
And so there's like a few really good apartments, right? And the way you get them is you get the people who have them for that year, the seniors who are graduating, to sign the lease over to you.
Okay. These are not school housing.
No,
these
are just like regular private housing. So it's like the land, like whoever has the lease, they sign the lease over to you.
Yep.
So there's one really nice apartment. And my friend bribed them $15,000 in cash to sign the lease over to them.
Wow.
And he did it in cash.
He did it
he
in
delivered
cash?
$15,000.
Why didn't he just
in
buy
a duffel
if
bag.
You have 15 grand in cash, just buy get your own house.
It's UCLA. This is not it's not that you could buy.
Got it.
We're talking like these apartment complexes, like if you were to buy them, there would be like $10-15 million. So
got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was the most.
I once in Thailand had to run security for someone, sort of security, and I don't know how much it was. It was a lot. I think it was a couple million baht, so not quite that, but I think probably like six figures in cash.
Wow.
I think it was like bags.
Ooh. Ooh. What business was this?
I knew someone. She was running a business there, and you know, import export kind of stuff. You know, like I said, man, real G's move in silence.
When you travel to Cuba, there's no. At least when I went to Cuba, I went to Cuba in 2001. Ooh, that's how old I am.
you traveled to Cuba?
Yeah, I went to Cuba.
Oh, and I'm still in high school, bro.
I was in Cuba when you were in high school. I was in Cuba when you were in diapers, dog.
You old as hell, dog.
But there's no ATM. There's no way to get money in Cuba.
Yeah, so you got to bring your own.
You got to fly in with all the money that you're going to spend in Cuba. You got to have whatever you got to budget it out, what you think you're going to spend. That's what you got to bring with you.
Yeah.
So this is how young and poor I was. I had like less than $1,000. Yeah,
like just like $368.42.
And I was in Cuba for like 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
So I was like basically sleeping on the street, and but I had a great time. I highly recommend Cuba in 2001. Don't know how it is now, but in 2001.
Ooh, it was amazing.
It was amazing. There's music everywhere.
Yeah.
It's... Everyone's beautiful.
They didn't have the internet then.
There's no internet to waste your time on. You actually had to talk to people, go to bars. And
rotary phones probably in Cuba.
I don't even know.
All the cars made of pure steel.
All the cars are real old, and they're they're not even jokingly held together with twine and duct tape.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's a place. It's a place that I would love to go back.
Can I beef with someone?
Yeah, go
ahead. Can I beef with the NBA Twitter world and NBA analysts?
Ooh-wee. All right.
Guys, can we just stop on this pretending LeBron James isn't going to make it to the finals? Can we stop that? I know we talked about, we touched a little about it, right? I don't know if we edited it out or not. I don't know.
You never know how the edit's going to go.
You never know how the edit's going to go. I'm just shooting blind here. This was the narrative, right? LeBron James, after the trade, right? We saw a swing. Everyone said, oh, this is the team. This is the team. And then everyone, right? Because they won a few games, the Cavs.
Right.
You know? And then they went and then they started losing a few games. And everyone was like, see, you guys, the trade was bad. The trade was bad. And then it was like, no. It's just like Kevin Love's been hurt. Now that Kevin Love's back, and now that LeBron's trying, he's just doing his thing. He's too good. He's too good for the entire East. He's going to cakewalk in there. It doesn't matter who you put around him. LeBron James is just a man.
I can't wait till the Sixers beat him in the first round, and I play this for you. But ugh. Okay. Yeah.
No, there's no way.
Did you have to be conflicted between your love of the Sixers and your love of being right? What's going to take precedent?
Nah, it'll be a win-win.
Okay, I don't know.
I mean, there's look, I love the Sixers. They're playing great. They've out-projected. I wasn't sure they're going to make... You bet the under.
Oh, yeah. It's right? One of my losses this year.
It's one of your losses, right?
But I also, my other big loss is the Raptors under as well.
Yeah. So I was kind of on the fence. I said, if everything goes right, they could win 40 games. But one Joel Embiid injury and they ain't winning it, right? Mm-hmm. So they're healthy and they're doing it. But, like, they don't have it to beat LeBron.
We'll see.
They don't. No one does.
We'll see.
I mean.
All right, what else? You got any other beefs?
72-win team didn't have enough to beat LeBron.
You got any other NBA Twitter beefs?
I know where you're going.
Anything else?
I got one.
All right, yeah, let's wrap it up.
Got it. Yo, I am beefing.
Uh-huh.
With the Dunked On dudes again. All right, let me tell you what.
This is the Dunked On podcast.
This is the Dunked On podcast. I know I poke at them a lot, right? Because, you know.
They're the smartest of the smart guy NBA podcast.
Like, if you need a good night's sleep, just pop that thing on. Mm-hmm. You're on a long airplane. You're flying international to Cuba at age 21.
Yeah.
Put all $300 in
your... I was 20.
You were 20? Wow. Yeah, yeah. In 2001.
I might have been 19, actually.
Oh, no, you're probably like 25 then.
No.
Put on the Dunked On pad. Just fall right asleep. It's great. So, our director of social media, Dave Fiernick, every time they do their little
NBA live, Twitter show,
yeah, where are they shooting? In the back of a TJ Maxx,
yeah, okay.
Right? Did they get paid in ill-fitted shirts?
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's called the 5-4 Club.
The
5-4
Club, right?
Go
whatever.
Ahead. Yeah.
All right, you guys.
All right, where are you going with this?
So every time they do their show, our man Dave Fiernick hits them up on the Periscope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Asking them to kiss.
Yeah, he says very nicely. He says, hey, wouldn't it be kind of funny if you guys kiss right now?
Yeah, you guys should kiss.
Just a little kiss.
Just kiss. This jabroni, all right, blocks Dave Fiernick. How dare you? How dare you, you Eeyore-voiced, half-speed, lifed fucking bum? You got to block Dave Fiernick? Dave Fiernick is the best thing that ever happened on that Twitter show.
Dave Fiernick has the best social in the game, man.
You have the best social in the game.
You're missing out. You're missing out. It's like blocking Cuba. It's like the embargo. It's the U.S. embargo in Cuba. We missed out on rum and cigars for 50 years.
For 50 years. Right. What are you doing, Dunk?
That's like Dave Fiernick is the rum and cigars of Twitter.
Oh, he's the best. He's the like he's third best on the pod, which is incredible. Maybe second over you.
I think we both have a second. I think we both have a second.
Very true. Very true. Don't you dare block him. I've been nice. I've been very nice. We've edited out a lot of stuff I've said about you guys.
We have edited out a lot.
Of Philly John, but I ain't taking it no more.
You blocked Buternick. You stepped to Dave. Let me tell you something. It's a close one. Who I love more, Dave or my son? Okay,
very
it's
close.
And by close, I mean my son's trailing by a lot.
Yeah. It's close, kind of like how people think Toronto might beat LeBron. That's how close it is, right?
Exactly. That's how close we are, right? You come at Dave. You best not miss. All right. I will say this: Vegas Summer League. If I see Nate Duncan again, something might happen.
Ooh.
Something might happen.
Beef season.
Vegas PD, get a cell ready.
Get a cell ready for me. Yeah.
And Vegas Hospital, get a room ready for Nate.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Hey, Danny. Yeah. Call your lawyer. Nate. Call him in the hospital. Matt's going to body slam him.
Yeah, yeah. But
I don't even know what I was in line to get some tap water. The concession stand had put ice in it, and I said, I'm not here to party. Thanks. Watch my show. It's shot live in the back of a TJ Maxx.
Oh, gosh. Too spicy.
No, okay. All right.
Wow.
Don't know how much of that is going to make the cut. Anyways, right.
thanks for
listening. Until next week,
keep pooping.
Have you ever been to a volcano when it was erupting?
You're now listening to Super Hoopers.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game.
Super Hoopers, can you dig it? Super Hoopers.
That's what you say, bro.
We just formed a fucking wall.
Supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
That's terrible.
I'm sorry that we count by tens because we have 10 fingers and 10 toes.
Man,
and that's just what we do as human race.
This is not
and
a hill.
He did something that no one else has ever done before except Oscar Robertson.
Look, I thought you were from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Sam Hinkie would hate this take.
Yeah.
Sam Hinkie would be like, why don't we just count in like the 12 decimal system?
Chris, you don't want to go down this road.
Don't go down this road.
John's a Colangelo stan, so... So,
are you kidding me?
Chris, you clearly don't listen to the pod. John loves Colangelo.
He's doing a great job.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna have to edit this out.
I love Hinkie more because
we've covered this so many times.
I mean, we're the three seed. We're gonna be the three seed. We're the four seed.
That is disgusting.
It is. Trust me.
You make me sick.
I'll cut this out. But people, like I was joking about earlier. People are like, yo, is John serious with his Colangelo love? And I'm like, oh yeah, leave this in.
First of all, I'm sorry. Is Ersan Ilyasova not a good pickup? Is Mario Belinelli not a good pickup? Like everything they were free agents.
They weren't pickups.
Yeah, and we got them. I don't see them going to other teams.
Oh my god.
Look. Oh my god, dude.
All right.
Hold on. Let's get it. Are we saying that the Sixers are not a great? You just said how great the team is.
And every single one of their important players was collected by Sam Hinkie over the course of the process. Look, the problem with Jerry Colangelo, other than the fact that he's a goon, and this is both of the Colangelos, and like, you know, he's basically goes against everything that we in America value as like a meritocracy. But besides that, right, he got swindled like pretty much day one coming out the gate, and like his big free agency, like Danny Ainge just like fucking nails him. He's basically like, hey, you know that the Lakers are going to take number two Lonzo Ball, and we're willing to trade this number one pick, so obviously we're not in on Markel Fultz. But hey, instead of like forcing us to take a stupid trade from the Suns, or instead of like, you know, keeping that pick and being able to obviously get Kyrie, because they obviously could have gotten Kyrie, because the only thing that they got in that next trade really was that pick, right? They pretty easily could have gone and gotten Kyrie instead of Markel Fultz. Markel Fultz, by the way, who obviously had some question marks leading into the draft, right? And Danny Ainge was off of him. Danny Ainge is a good GM. But even more so over the course of this year, what he's done is just jettison value, like, in stupid little ways. Like the Trevor Booker trade, right? Just to get off of Jahlil Okafor and, like, give himself a pat on the back. Like, you burn a second round pick there, right? Like, really for just no reason, right? And you, and even more so in doing that, you could have really just made that trade. Jahlil Okafor was already available for Ersan Ilyasova and Marco Bellinelli, and then they would have gotten them earlier. And the starting lineup has been elite. By the way, the starting lineup that Sam Hickey was responsible for putting together, right? Like, their bench was the issue all season long, right? And they could have gotten Bellinelli and Ersan Ilyasova earlier and, like, been a 52, 53, 54 win team and been even more impeccable, and then definitely they would have signed LeBron James. It's just like, you know, everything's probably going to work out for Colangelo because his daddy was born a billionaire, and, like, LeBron's, like, probably going to go to the Philadelphia 76ers. And, like, things – like, probably history will remember him favorably, but he's a fraud. Like, he's – I would be better at running an NBA team than he is, and, like, I'm just some jack-off.
I agree with everything you said.
I think – okay. First of all, let's see. Their starting lineup is Ben Simmons, who he drafted.
It was, with the Hinkies pick, oh, they would have got God. Anybody would have drafted
yes
Simmons.
Or no?
You don't give him. You don't. He does not get credit for Simmons.
Okay,
of
sorry.
Course not.
We deny this. Then,
okay, we'll yeah. do this again. All right.
They got the number one pick because Sam Hinkie tanked the hell out of yeah. his team.
Yeah, he does not
tore
get credit.
Down.
He gets zero credit for Simmons. You cannot give him any credit.
Okay,
for Simmons.
Okay, then we don't get. We don't. Whatever. We'll do that. We'll do the whole thing. Okay, fine. Whatever. And then also JJ Redick is another signing. Right?
Okay.
And
JJ Redick's
in
okay.
your mind, we,
it, like,
we can't.
It's okay.
We, so here's
if
the
that's
thing.
What you want to hang your hat on.
Yeah. Best starting lineup. He's part of it. Right?
Yep.
Okay. So that's mm-hmm. two people that he got. Right? I mean, like, we just pretended that didn't
well,
happen.
No, no. We,
I love that.
We,
see, that's
we,
the thing. That, that's what
it's,
people
it's,
do.
It's one person. It's one
it's
person.
One
we're
person.
Not giving you Ben Simmons. Okay. Nobody is giving Colangelo credit for Ben Simmons. Sorry.
Yeah, that's just, like, willfully ignorant. Yeah. That's intellectually dishonest.
How is that dishonest?
It is. It is. Because every
okay.
single GM
would
have drafted
you would make
Ben
the
Simmons.
Argument, okay, how good was that team when Hinkie inherited it, the, like, Iggy and Brand team? It was, like, a 38-win
but
team,
see,
right?
But see, okay, but
like
here's
that.
The problem that
right?
people do, and this is what you're doing, is you're trying to say Sam Hinkie did a great job. Sam Hinkie is better than Colangelo. Ooh, mystery. That's the thing that everyone has said. But since taking over, he has done a fine job. Okay?
No, he hasn't.
And the team, yeah. Because, like you said, oh, he lost a second round pick for Trevor Booker. Yeah, he also gained a second round pick on the Chris Paul trade. That was a free second round pick he just got.
Wait, when was that?
He traded the rights to Schultz, so it's like whatever. And then you look at the previous Jeremy Grant trade; he got a whole bunch of pieces for that, and he made out on that one. But all we do is sit around and go, "Oh, Trevor Booker! Oh my God, we lost a pick. Whatever, it's a second round pick. Just stop.
The point is,
it's
no,
fine.
The point is,
yeah,
like
yeah.
All
if
the...
Danny Ainge thought that way, then like Kyrie wouldn't be on the side.
Yeah, yeah. No,
well,
you know,
we're gonna find out. We're gonna find out if Fultz is better than Tatum, and that will be the thing. And I agree, that is a big risk, and it might not pan out. I didn't have Fultz number one, and that could be a big thing. But until that happens,
look,
I think we have to stop pretending that, like, what would you have done? You would have traded second-round picks for Ersan and Mario?
It's just,
you said we could have got him, right?
The Kings pick?
You said we could have got him, right? What would you have done? You would have traded second-round picks for those guys?
For Ersan
and Mario?
No, I just would have waited. I wouldn't have traded value. Look, this stuff, no, he had to like waive the guy who he gave. Okay, look, this stuff adds up. That's the problem. It's like that Kings pick next year, it's going to be like this first or second pick in the draft, right? And Marco Fultz already is like looking like a bit of a strained investment. It's the Jared Bayless thing. Like, that's going to be another second round pick. So now we're up to like the number two pick in the draft and like a second round pick from that and a second round pick from Trevor Booker. And it's just like,
is any of that worse than missing on Kristaps for Jahlil Okafor?
No. See, this is what John always does. Don't follow this track.
Look,
stop. Because here's the thing. John always turns the argument about Colangelo into an argument about Hinkie. We're judging whether Colangelo is a good GM or not. That's a conversation we're having. It has nothing to do with other GMs. We're judging, is Colangelo good or not? This whole Okafor Kristaps thing has nothing to do with Colangelo's
performance. Yeah, that's every excuse everyone makes.
No, I'm seriously.
That's what
this is. If the conversation we're having is about whether Colangelo is good or not, then the Okafor pick has nothing to do with it. I don't understand how you can say it has something to do with it. It doesn't.
I think everything he's done has been fine. I think you can be a great GM and make huge mistakes. Like, I think the Okafor was a huge mistake. And everyone is like, you know what? But overall, Hinkie still did the right thing. For the most part, he's a great GM, even though he had a huge, huge blunder. But then when we talk about Colangelo, again, the Fultz thing's too to be determined. But then we're like, this guy, oh my God, a second round pick. How could he?
No,
this is a travesty.
The process, the problem is that like the process wasn't sound. Like
the process
if the
between
Celtics were coming to him.
Well, okay,
what Chris is saying is it's indicative of the thing is Colangelo has not had the opportunity to really mess up because of what's given him. So what we have to judge him on are these moves on the margin, and he always loses the moves on the margin, which suggests that he's not good.
And Markel Fultz was a catastrophe.
We don't know yet.
Look, what is that Kings pick going to be next year? Is it going to be the number one pick in the draft?
We don't know.
Yeah, the issue, I agree that the Fultz is a catastrophe. I agree that it's a complete, total catastrophe and an utter disaster.
Is what they said about Embiid for the first 2 years.
No, but it's hard to judge. Judge Colangelo on that because... I think a lot of GMs.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, it's too bad they don't have Andrew Wiggins on a $50 million a year contract, or like Jabari Parker.
No, it's. I think a lot of GMs would have made that Fultz move. So, and there's a lot of draft guys who had Fultz number one that said it was clear number one. I mean, none of us.
Hey, there's a lot of GMs that should be fired.
Yeah,
and it's just like there's a lot of GMs that like would have strongly considered and maybe done it, but like Colangelo did it. Yeah. And it's just like God. I mean, really, I think everyone should have known. That was stupid from day one. Like it's a really simple thought exercise. And if it's your job to not do bullshit like this, then you need to figure it out. Like the Lakers will take Lonzo number two. Like that's just the end of story, right? And if you're trading away, they traded the third pick in the draft, right?
Yeah.
Something like that,
They traded the third pick and the Kings pick next year.
If the Celtics want to trade the first pick in the draft, they're either willing to move on from Markel Fultz or they just straight up will pick someone else. So go ahead, call his bluff. Let Danny Ainge pick Markel Fultz, right? He wants to move him. He's already offered to trade him, and now that's a depreciated value. Like, I mean, it's just like – and if you had just waited a little bit longer until the Kyrie thing happened, if you had just like given yourself a little bit more breathing room, like, I mean, look, taking any rookie over a proven all-star who like – is like a finals MVP caliber guy. Like any rookie, like, oh God, and the Suns, by the way, don't even get me started on the fact that they took Josh Jackson over Kyrie Irving. That's ridiculous. But it's just like, Markel Fultz had not played a game in the league. That just means that you're a question mark at that point. Like whether because he could have come into the league and been like an average point guard. Like, of course, like very few people predicted that he was going to be like this bad, but like it was not outside of the realm of possibilities that he could have been like, Lou Williams before he had this crazy breakout year. And like, who would you rather have, Kyrie Irving or like a bench scorer who can play like 25 minutes a game, but like gets blown up on offense and isn't all that athletic? Like,
no, look,
I don't know,
Don't say Fultz is just Lou Williams.
He's worse than Lou Williams.
Well, I mean, Fultz is like
no
Andrew Bennett
one going
right now,
into last year before Bennett. The injury or before the whole thing thought his potential was Lou Williams. He was the number one consensus pick, and his game is really good, and it's way better than Lou Williams. Like, come on.
Look, Andrew Wiggins was the number one consensus pick, but like the Cavaliers traded him for Kevin Love because Kevin Love was a proven value. He was like, look, this guy has come into the league and been really good. He's played against like big ass men and like dominated, right? Having a number one pick in the draft is just like, it doesn't really mean anything until it happens, right? And it was not outside of the possibility that Markel Fultz was going to be a guy like Lou Williams. I'm trying to think of like some other comparisons. Like he could have been like, a Stephon Marbury and like, just like Kyrie Irving is much better than Stephon Marbury.
So you're arguing this? Like, you're arguing the Sixers could have traded for Kyrie?
Obviously, like I mean, they traded Kyrie for like Isaiah Thomas, who like
the
they got,
pick.
And it's like I don't know. Our doctors are saying that he's worthless, and like Crowder, who like whatever, he sucks. Like and this Nets pick, of course, I feel like they would have definitely jumped at
well,
the third.
Well, Matt
pick
will agree because Matt
that.
Thinks Kyrie's a bad player.
Yeah, I don't think Kyrie's good. So.
They were just like giving him away, basically.
I'm gonna end this conversation because I'm gonna cut all of it out.
Are you kidding me?
No,
if you're gonna keep anything,